This is CliffCentral.com.
Lauryn Hill, Do Up, That Thing. That's such a nice old school jam. Hang on, I need to... 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I'm just busy trying to coordinate things here because Tumi Morake is back.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, except she's back physically, but the brain and the soul.
And the spirit.
I think they got caught in customs somewhere between Singapore and here, but it's fine.
And so you've spent the last week, where exactly?
I was in Bali, eating nice life in Bali, Indonesia. And it was a mess. I got to be somebody's girlfriend for a whole week.
Did you go away with a sponsor? I don't understand.
Sponsor.
No, you know when people get taken on to vacations to like Dubai by the very rich.
Yeah.
Like Mandla, someone who works in government and he leaves the wife at home.
Yes, it was vacation with my official bae, and it was a mess. And now I'm back, and it's like so awkward.
Well, was it your first time?
It was very much my first time. In Bali, you mean, or first time on a vacation?
Well, both.
Okay, it was my first time at Bali. It was a mess. I mean, really, let's just say if I didn't know I've closed the factory, I'd be going, I know I'm going to have to take a pregnancy test.
Okay,
it was a mess.
Okay.
I limboed. I just might actually post that. I've got a video of me. Ladies and gentlemen, you are speaking to an international limbo champion. If you can see how low that pole was, Keita. I was like, there is no way this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But it happened.
Is that because you got a lot of Dutch courage in the form of Lee Kwa?
Plenty.
Yeah.
It was Dutch courage mixed with Asian courage, because then isn't it? Every country I go to, I have to have their local bones. So I had some Singapore slingers just going in my system there. Singapore sling, not slinger, sling. And, you know, but it was so hard to find rice wine. They're like, it's illegal. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not asking for weed. I'm asking for rice wine.
What is rice wine?
Hey, Muna, it's this potent.
But how is it different from grape wine?
Hi, my friend, because it's sake, my friend.
You
will sake, so sake proper.
Oh,
you will sake.
I've only had sake once in my life. And it was because one of my cousins had been to, I think it was Japan. And she came back with a bottle of this thing. And I felt like my insides were sterilized on the spot. You know how when you're in a laboratory and you need to perform a dissection and then your professor says, please sterilize all your utensils in the ethanol, which is like 100% alcohol. After one shot of sake, I was like,
oh my word,
insides are now sterile.
That's awesome. Then you must please come and visit me, because I bought some sake when I was at the airport. So I think I should experience this with you.
Yeah, it was strong. Okay, so that's rice wine, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know this.
Yeah, I had a great time. But you know what broke my heart was, then it made me realize, do waiters and people in hospitality in this country realize that they are the face of tourism? Like, do they get trained that way? Or are they just told, just make sure the food is hot and, you know, that they can't complain about anything? Because the easy smile, the greeting people first, you know, and just general making me feel welcome. You know, you're made to feel like being a foreigner is a great thing. Like, you are so special. It is so cool. You've like, you know what I mean? You're coming to spend money. And then I thought about when I'm in Cape Town, because I want to compare touristy to touristy, you know? And when I'm in Cape Town, the service is atrocious, man. Like, if you get a smile, you must just write to Santa Claus and say, thank you. I believe in you now, because here's the present. Somebody smiled at me while they were serving me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. South Africans. No, this is another thing that broke my heart. Like, I love this country. I must tell you, every time I leave, I'm like, this is why I must go home. Because home is exciting. But sometimes we must just, what is the word? Reprimand when we need to reprimand. Because what upset me was that after all of this being made to feel special in a foreign country, having a great time, I come back here and the first thing I witness at the airport is one of those officials, guys, being so rude to this Asian family. You know, and even going, I think he said something like "ching chong cha" or whatever to the guy, and I literally died inside. I died inside because I just thought, man,
manners.
Yes, see, yeah, man.
But I mean, are you saying that the contrast in the kind of service you received in Bali is very, very different to the kind of service that we are used to here?
Yes. Because, you know, also black people, we have a complex. Sometimes, like, yeah, it's only because I'm black that they're serving me so badly. Like, that's why I'm getting bad service because I'm black. And I realized, no. Service here is generally bad. Like, I've been out with people. I've watched people bitch and moan about service. You know what I mean?
I've always thought that it's because there are a lot of people in this country who genuinely hate their jobs.
Mm.
They wake up in the morning, they hate their job because, you know, it's not maybe something that they want to do. It's something that they have to do. And then somewhere along the line, that gets taken out on you as the customer.
Yeah, but then how is it my fault you did not get your matric with exemption? I don't understand. How is it my fault? Hmm? How is it my fault you're not hot enough to get a sugar daddy to make you happy in life? I just... Mabale, I'm sorry, but it's not an excuse.
Okay.
You want to tell me those people are happy? Because, I mean, the same thing happens in Ghana, where I saw the service was amazing. Although, a funny thing happened. But I'll go back to it. You must remind.
I'm going to remind you. I'm going to make a note of that right now.
Because in Ghana, I felt the same way, where it's warm, it's friendly. And you can't punish people for hating your job. Do you think those people, those waiters there and those ground staff, what that's what they want to do with their lives? Like they woke up and they said, oh, when I grow up, I just want to serve random foreigners all the time visiting my country and just clean up after their rubbish.
Job ki job.
Job ki job, chama. You should love, you know what? If you're doing something you hate, because this is what I used to do when I was still, you know, building up my career. I remember doing gigs, which I did hate, but I would go, I love this because it's going to translate to rent value. You must hate something that you're doing that you don't want to do and you actually don't see what you're going to get out of it.
So then what is our problem then?
But then I don't know. Country,
are we just rude?
Yeah, we're just rude. We're unappreciative. I think we're unappreciative and we're rude because... let's just move on.
Okay.
I was telling you about Ghana. So this is what happened.
Yeah, tell me about Ghana.
You know how things can be lost in translation.
Tell me about the men.
The men.
In Ghana.
The men.
The men.
The men. If you go there, you must just take something to calm yourself down. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Wear a panty line.
The thirst is real here, by the way. The thirst is real.
Yeah.
Carry on. So, in Ghana.
Yeah. So we go to this resort and I ask for lemonade. Because, you know, my poison of choice when I'm mixing is usually my double vodka, lime and lemonade.
Mm.
The guy brings the double vodka and the lime. The lemonade is where it got very funny.
Okay.
Because he brought Sprite and I said, no, man, don't you... No, he didn't bring Sprite. He just brought those two. I was like, where's the lemonade? He says, lemonade. I said, yes. I asked for a vodka with a lime and lemonade.
And lemonade.
He comes back with this glass. And I can see there's a cloudy liquid in it. They took water.
Okay.
And they squeezed a lemon into it.
Oh. So was that just a case of like... We are not speaking the same drink.
I don't think
drinkology or whatever.
My husband has ever laughed so hard. Because then I had to explain what the lime was beforehand. I think what was funny for Po is that then first it was the issue with the lime. Then the guy, the bartender was like, "Oh no, lime cordial. Oh cordial, put cordial. Yay, lemonade died."
At least in a lemon twist. I mean, they could have brought you like a bottle of that and be like, "Oh well, lemonade. There you go." I mean, what
is green?
What more do you want?
And I just hope that government-wise, things are going to get better because my rent wasn't worth spit. You know?
Oh, yeah. This is, oh, man. You know, somebody was trying to send me a list of the most expensive places to travel to on the South African rent versus the cheapest places. But they never actually sent through this list. And it would have been so great to actually go through this list now and to see where are the best places to go to if you're really feeling like, I must travel.
Yeah, because in theory...
Was it expensive?
In theory, Indonesia was cheap, but... because then you're paying in American dollars.
No, that's the only option. What?
Because you know you get the local currency, so you're like a billionaire. Yes, you know, like we're spending 5 million in a shop buying stuff. But then when you're trying to buy that stuff, when you're converting, because then what they do for you is they convert to dollars, and you go, oh, okay, so that's how much it is in dollars. You start thinking rands. No, things must get better, guys. If we can just as a country slaughter, we just agree to slaughter every province.
We need a cleansing ceremony.
Every province must, the ministers in each province.
Okay.
The provincial
people.
They must each one go and find the most expensive, biggest cow they can find.
Okay.
And it has to be those bovine situations, those red, you know, those... big, like reddish brown ones, those ones where you're like, this meat is gonna be amazing. We need those one in every province, ne?
Okay, but are we all going to follow the same procedure? Because you know, depending on whether you are Zulu or Sotho or Tswana or Xhosa, there might be variations of the actual procedure itself. But must we all then put it like on a document and say, this is the procedure that we are going to be following?
Yes. So we get a representative from every tribe. Some tribes are very similar, so they mustn't try and look for attention unnecessarily. And then we slaughter, we spill blood same time.
Yeah.
Like we coordinated 5, 4, 3, 2, stab. Stab at the same time. Cut same time.
Very synced.
Yeah. Then, because then all the ancestors in unison And then
we ask them, well, what are we going to ask them for? To forgive who? To forgive?
No, it's not. Don't be about forgiveness. It will be about fix it. We have past forgiveness.
So, okay, but I mean, we have made major transgressions. Yes. Should we not be first saying, you know,
sorry.
Yeah. You know, we take it back. Yeah. Can you please? And then we start asking for things.
But the only person we can't speak to when we're speaking to the ancestors at that time, I feel in all fairness, is Nelson Mandela. Him we must let rest. Because his inbox was full. Already inbox was packed with requests.
No, he's done his time. Sure. Yeah. I mean, literally
and figuratively. That's what you did there.
You're so funny. 0861-555-189 is the number to dial if you'd like to talk to Dumi. You know, she's back and everything.
How? It's nice. Why me by myself? Back. What was it like without me? You. What did you do? No, I hope you weren't naked.
No, I would never do that. Oh. Not yet.
Sure, a lot of guys are very disappointed to hear that.
I got two of my closest friends to come in and join me, who are also both married, both mothers. And we were just talking about a whole bunch of different things, you know, because seemingly in the United States, there's a growing trend of women who go into spas to get massages with happy endings. Like it's a growing trend among women. And so I just wanted to get a sense of, if your daughter can go in for one of those, then does that mean that you as a wife can also go? And then everybody gets back home after a long day at working like, woo. That was nice and de-stressing. And then everybody goes on with their life. So it was just that kind of thing.
Wow.
But now, I do want to talk about bitches be back.
Yes!
Okay, because you are back.
Because this bitch be back.
You and a whole lot of other ladies are getting together for the show called Bitches Be Back, which is where? At Carnival
City? It's at Carnival City. You know why it's Bitches Be Back, right? Because we had bitches. We did bitches a few years ago when I still had two kids. No, I lie. This one has still three kids. No, I'm lying. This is... Did I have one child or two? I only had... Yes, this happened when I only had two children.
Yeah.
And I actually conceived my last born at the second night of this thing. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Tragic.
No, that was good. That was good.
So, it's Bitches Be Back. We're reunited and we're bigger than ever. So we've got a lineup of different kinds of comedians. We've got Tracy, who's a musician. She's a singer, right? And she's funny. Tracy Lee Oliver.
Oh, okay. I don't think I'm familiar with her.
Then you must come so you can be family, man.
Okay, no, but I am...
But she also does stuff. She does some prank show I've seen on TV. I think it's on MTV or whatever.
Tracy Lee Oliver.
Yes. So she's doing like musical comedy. We have Celeste Ntuli, who is a powerhouse. I honestly think I have serious woman crush on that woman.
You know, Nina Hasty was in here on Monday talking about this as well. Yes. And she also mentioned, or she stressed when she mentioned Celeste Ntuli. Seemingly she's doing a lot of like impressive work.
No, she is. Yo, I watch her and I go, you have not even begun to scratch the surface of what you can do, Marek.
Damn.
Because Celeste just owns her space, man. Like, you can't stop. You can't help but stop and listen when she speaks. We have Noko as well, who is on a steady upcline. Like, this chick is hilarious. She brings you know, that recognizable home thing. Like
the people of the soil type of thing.
Like, yeah, I see that, you know, that recognizability that you, mm. So we've got her, we've got Nina, obviously.
And then Anele
was hosting.
Also, she's assuming like the role of the coordinator, madam of ceremonies.
Mistress of ceremonies. That's sexy.
I like it too. And then, of course, there's you.
And then there's I. Tsumi Hazard, like a sheet, like a lemon. And Tenji. Tenji Wa Mosley, who a lot of people know from her videos. She does a lot of those viral videos. She's huge.
So now, online. I mean, is this reuniting the original cast from Bitches? Or have you added extra people?
We've added extra people. We've taken out some people. I don't know if it's an availability or what, but yeah. And it's bigger, which is awesome because, you know, people are always like, so where are the female comedians? You know, we only know Tony. We only know Simnest. We don't know. So this is an opportunity for people to see that comedy has grown so much in this country, you can actually have a lineup show of just women.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm looking forward to it, eh? Like, there's going to be a lot of estrogen, man.
So is there going to be like a lot of male directed jokes?
No, male... I really don't, it's not about the guys. You know, it's funny because every time we bring up things that are very like, it's a whole lot of women or it's feminism, and then it becomes about the men.
Yeah, no, this whole feminism thing and is apparently it's apparently a very ugly word. The worst thing that you can be called is a feminist. Is a feminist. It's on the 26th.
Of this month.
So, and the 27th.
Yeah, two nights, Baba. So it's not just a one-night stand. It's a repeat. No, it's like when you have that one-night stand, but enjoyed it so much, but you still don't want the relationship. But you just want to make sure it wasn't potluck, that it was that amazing. So you do it again, and you're like, yo, yeah, that's going to be us. Two nights at Carnival City, and I can't wait. Because my song for men, every time they think it's going to be about them, is, I bet you think the song is about you, don't you? No, it's not. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing all of that. Which is crazy, because also, I'm tired. And sometimes I go, why am I agreeing to do these things? Because, you know, I'm doing 3 lineup shows this month, right? But after
but
this...
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm done with doing lineup shows. You... I'm tired.
Wait a minute.
I need to do one-man shows now.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, because you have to clip yourself into 10 or 15 minutes and you just want to chill and chat for like a good hour.
And then, I mean, in terms of getting a whole one-man show together, the production element, the this, the that, the selling of the tickets, that sounds like a very big task.
No, it is, isn't it? It is, ne? But me, I like things. So me, I'm going to do it. I think I've worked long enough in this industry, man. I think I've earned my stripes and I have my audience. Because, you know, when you do a lineup show, you can never conclusively say who everyone is there for. Like, there's a group that's there for you. There's a group that's there for the other people. There's a group that's there because they don't know what the hell is going on, but they came because they saw everybody go in there. You know what I mean? So I like having my own show because then I know these people are there for me. So I don't even have to compromise my material. They want me. You know what I mean? I just can't. The polygamy of lineup, leave me alone. I don't want to share.
I don't know how much you have missed since
I've missed a lot.
Being
in a week.
Away in Bali and all sorts of other things.
I switched off all my stuff. No social media, no nothing. I don't know what happened. What happened? I was about to say, is my president pregnant again? Is he, how is he?
He's in court.
Again?
He's at the Constitutional Court because Akere the EFF wanted him to pay back the money.
Yes.
And then he came back and he said, there's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
Yes. Ne?
And then Public Protector did her whole thing. It took a long time. And then she released a report and she said, Mr. President, you need to pay back some of the money. Yeah. And he said, no. And then his entourage were like calling the Public Protector all sorts of things, like she's a CIA spy and all sorts of things.
Oh, yes, I remember. And everybody on Twitter became agents. Everybody had an agent in there.
And then the EFF and the DA decided, no, actually, now we're going to take him to the Constitutional Court because this thing clearly needs to be taken to a higher level.
Yes.
Corruption Watch joined in. Tulima Donsela is also there. So this morning, this very moment, in the Constitutional Court, we are hearing the case of pay back the money, where basically the EFF and the DA have said, no, guy, you need to pay back because Akere...
But didn't he say he's paying it back?
He said he's paying back some of the money. Ne?
Oh.
And then he said, but there needs to be an independent body of people who decide how much that money should be. And then the EFF are like, no, the judges at the Constitutional Court need to make that decision.
Yeah.
Not some group that you put together. On some,
how,
you know, and then who happen to be friends of the president or whatever.
But also, how can he pay all of it back, guys? I mean, we are saying there are things that were unnecessary, and then there were things that were necessary. For example, you know, you can't just have a normal stripper pole. It must be reinforced and what, and it makes sense because we all understand girth and size and all of that.
Mm.
And then there's things like exotic plants which have to be fed appetizer every day, otherwise they will die. Then that he must pay for, because how is that a necessity? Or even a pool that we know they're not going to use.
No, Mara Akira, the president, said that he and the Zuma family built Nkandla.
Mm.
He said, we built that home.
With their bare hands. Mm.
With their pockets. Mm. He said, they built that home. Where public funds were used, this is now according to him, where public funds were used was for the security upgrades, because people were so concerned for the president's safety and security that they said, look, number one, we feel that you must have certain security upgrades done to your house. Hence the fire pool.
Mm.
Hence the kettle kraal, the chicken coop, the tuck shop, Yamakuma along.
Sure. They tried to kill him. Also someone who's probably a food taster for him.
So
if there's poison in there, then the food taster must die, and then you'll see he mustn't eat the food.
So, you know, his argument is that, no, but this is why I can't pay back all the money. Because the actual house I paid for, it was in my budget.
Oh.
Where you people paid was for the security upgrades.
Oh.
This is his story.
Oh. So he's saying, I built this. I'm not going to pay back for that. I pimped it with your money. So I'm just going to, the mags there that were unnecessary, that are spinning,
yeah,
those are the ones he's going to pay for.
That's basically what he's saying.
I am not paying for the cake. I'm paying for the trimmings.
So I'm trying to follow.
Tata, President.
I'm trying to follow at what point of the court proceedings we are at here, because, and also, you know how things can drag out in this country, and especially when it comes to processes of legal matters.
Sure.
So basically, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm. And I guess if the president is told by the Constitutional Court to pay back X amount, that is what he'll have to do. Like, what other option is he going to have?
Where
is
he
going to
get the money from, us anyway?
Okay.
That's the point.
Isn't that the most frustrating thing?
Yeah. Freedom!
This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com, sipping tea with myself, Mabali Moloi, and Dumi Moraike, who's just come back from Bali.
Yeah. And I'm useless. My brain is gone. If I am lacking humor, if I am just lacking general energy, please bear with me. Okay. I am my mind is still on holiday.
So it's akin to that moment where, you know, the man finishes and then he looks at you and he's like, we're not sharp. And then you go, no. This wasn't your finest 15 minutes.
Yes. And you're like, no, you can sleep, but I'm giving you 2 minutes recovery time. We are waking El Toro up, and you must just ha riba.
Okay.
And then that round is for me.
No,
then you're like, this round is mine.
Yeah. No, you know what? Can we talk about that for a second? Because there's this thing that a lot of guys say that, you know, the first round, they're like, ah, please don't count the first round. Because the first round is never a good round for me as the man. Because I'm only going to last a very short amount of time. Then after that, round two, three and upwards, then I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
I'm not a man. But let me speak on their behalf then, since Mabale wants me to.
And especially if, let's say you guys are in some kind of long distance setup and neither one of you are creeping on the side.
Yeah.
And then the first time you see each other after that long time.
Because you are both overexcited, isn't it? You're over-randy. So you over-rev the car.
Yeah.
And then you chop petrol fast. And then you're like, okay, now then, let's just cruise. Let's just.
And then apparently only after that first round, then things are like slowed down.
Yeah.
But I mean.
But I'm not a fan of the sex that goes on for 20 years, eh? I don't struggle to. This conversation is just. How did we become the sex show?
I don't know.
I don't struggle. Oh,
okay, no, you are. Okay, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Let's just say. Easy to please, so I don't need hours.
You are not in the majority of women for whom, you know, it is difficult for them to get there. But that's.
Was it you? Wait. What? Was it you who gave me that scary statistic?
About what?
About women who. About orgasms and women.
What did I say?
What was
the statistic?
No, I can't remember, but there was a very frightening number of women who have never had an orgasm.
Like
there were very few who have had an orgasm.
Yeah.
And even of that group, the majority had gotten that orgasm by themselves, not from the other person.
I don't think it was me, but I have read a lot of articles that speak to that problem
Do you think this is why some women are such bitches? And I'm not bitches in the beautiful sense that we celebrate bitches, but bitches like this mean, just why are you so ugly towards me, like these bitter women, and you're like, why are you so bitter? You are hot, look at you, you're happening, you don't need to be such a damn ugly person. And I'm honestly starting to think it's because their clitoris has become a bundle of nerves and stress. Like it's no longer it's not even that anymore, it's now, it's like a, you know when you have a knot in your back, like they no longer, it's not longer, it's no longer, it doesn't qualify biologically to be called the clitoris anymore. It's actually a knot. You have a knot in your vagina.
Oh my gosh.
And it's one of those, like the ones you get in your back, and it needs to be massaged. massaged and worked out so that you can orgasm and become a nice person.
Which is probably why the trend in America is more and more women going in for massages with happy endings.
Yes.
Because they're having those knots.
Yes. And those masseuses know how to get to that knot.
But the thing is, would you go to a female masseuse or a male masseuse?
Female, because a male still needs guidance. A female does not. A man, hey, you must still, in 200 meters, you're too close to the chocolate factory. Come back. I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
But let's get out of the gutter. You see, you've put me in the gutter.
Okay, now I'm going to pull you out.
And people are like, Timmy, you're so dirty, you're so naughty. This is my body. I'm the victim right now. This is peer pressure.
You can blame it all on me. That's fine. I do want to ask you about children working,
yes.
Right? Because sometimes you start off selling, you know, ice lollies or whatever, because you're thinking to yourself, I want to make money and I'm this young budding entrepreneur. And then you work as a child. So I was just thinking to myself, do you think that children who work in their young age benefit in ways that children who never work until they are actual adults and are now forced and required to work? Do you think that there's any kind of beneficial lessons that could be taken from children who are made to work, running the tuck shop, unyana, or, you know, delivering things, or...
Yeah, hey, to appreciate the value in manufacturing drugs at their dad's house. Learning how to value things, ne? No, I think there are benefits, but you know, also it's about a skill set, bruh. I think it's great for kids who have that entrepreneurial gift in them. And then for others, it's going to be pointless because they were born just to lead and tell people what to do with their lives.
Because we keep saying that one of the ways to solve the issues of this country, because, you know, we keep saying, entrepreneurship, that's what we need to be aiming for. And people are saying, well, why don't we teach children from primary school age already how to become entrepreneurs, like make it an actual subject in school? So I was thinking to myself, So then what are we saying? Like, we should have children working at a younger and younger
I'm
age?
I'm worried about that.
Because you can't just teach someone entrepreneurship. There's got to be a practical element
also,
to it.
Let's remember how this country is just genetically predisposed to corruption. Then we're going to have freaking sweatshops starting in this country, like we've heard of in China, of those little hands that make Nikes. And then we're going to be doing that and saying, yeah, but I'm empowering this child to understand that sometimes we must hold down a 9-to-5. I don't know. Because when my first job, I was a teenager. And the only reason I was doing it was because my mom was saying, this is how much pocket money I give you. If you want more, get yourself a part-time job. So you can understand, you can appreciate the value.
What
of actually
was your,
earning your
first
money.
Job?
My first job, I worked in a hair salon. I would clean up, like sweep up and all of that, wash the towels, occasionally wash dudes' hair because in high school, for some reason, I was thick. I wasn't fat, I was thick.
So you were like nice.
So these uncles are coming in there and they are yes, and they are loving this thing that I'm going to touch their bald heads and just rub
and
them, just
massage
them
and out just, of them yes. as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you were very young back then though, weren't
I
you?
Was, no. But I was, you know, massaging those hands.
My first job was in varsity. And it was mostly because there was a disagreement between my dad and I about how much pocket money I should be getting, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I went in, and I remember it was at the Spur, and I went in on the first day, and I was like, hey, this is me. I'd like to come and work here. They made me fill out some forms, and they said, fine, for the rest of the day, you're going to spend time shadowing the other, you know, waiters, like follow them around, ask questions, and then your official training will begin the next day.
Mm.
That next day, I never went back because I just knew that, no, this is not going to work for me.
Mm.
But then I did and so this is where my question came from is, should we be making all our children work?
I know.
Not like sweatshop type work, though, you know? Mm. Fun little things that are not labor intensive.
If you find your child is a great negotiator, get them started. Because I have children who can negotiate their way out of anything, Shem. I don't know, man. Leave children to be children. That's all I say. Leave children to be children.
And then there is this issue of when you go and see your grandmother or your aunts, and let's say maybe the last time they saw you, you were in a size 32 jean.
Oh, let's not. Oh, God. Yes.
And now you are size 36.
Oh, my God.
And isn't it amazing how, you know, older women feel that it is their place to. How?
Hey.
Mamali. Yeah, are you pregnant? Kapaking, king, or hamunat, or tabile, or hetzalang, or so non nehagan. I'm like. So this got me thinking because here's the problem. There are two things, right? You get those people who tell you when you didn't ask for it, who wants to tell you, hurry, your body is changing in ways that for some reason they don't think you're not seeing, even though you spend 24 hours in your body.
And also they probably think you don't own a mirror.
Yes. So they're assuming that you are not aware of the fact that you are now two sizes big.
Yeah.
So I have a problem with those people.
Yes.
But then on the other hand, I also have a problem with if I ask you as my friend and I'm like, okay, look, do I really look that bad in this situation right here? Because I know that I've gained weight. And then they still lie to you.
But then, Mabali, you don't know what you want.
No, I want you to. But if you are my friend.
No, but if I'm your friend, I will tell you. I'll be like, yeah, but Mabali, I can see you are pecking on. Is this conscious? Are you trying to bootylicious it? Or
so then how do we tell each other as friends that, listen, you're getting fat?
No, but you don't say that. First of all, Mabale, this is where I educate you. You don't tell somebody, oh, listen, you're getting fat. How?
Okay, then. How do
you very nicely, hey, chum.
Yeah.
Hey, you've put on, hey. Mm. Oh, life's good. Or, chum, is it just me or are you getting a little bigger? Because you understand then, by then you're going, ah, my friend would never go and make comments about my weight. So there must be something going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, because you know, with the relatives thing, I remember, like, I used to hate going home to Bloom sometimes because of that. Because now what's worse is, you know, I'm in a family that speaks a lot of Afrikaans and it hurts even more.
How did that happen?
Like when my aunt is like, yek to me te gaan bars, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Wait, how did you guys end up speaking Afrikaans?
It's a free state, my friend. You grow up in Setswana and Afrikaans. That's like your life. English is one of those things that visits once in a while.
I know. I mean,
but that's the community.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, so And I'm telling you, there's a Fantoner in our blood somewhere. I've seen it. My brother has very soft hair. My sister has hazel eyes. I'm like, you know, I'm high yellow.
There was something happening there.
So, and they would do that to me. And I'd feel so crappy about it, right? And one time I lost it now. Because, you know, we are raised not to speak back to our elders. So even if they offend you, you don't call them on the offense.
For some reason.
Because usually you just giggle.
Yeah. You're like, and then you die a slow death inside.
Yeah. Hey, one time I lost it, hey? Because now it felt like every single person who encounters me feels the need to tell me how fat I am. And I remember saying, hey, it's because I have money, I can actually afford food. Okay. I'm eating my mind.
Oh my gosh.
You understand? Okay. And it was taken like that, like, why you have to be like that?
Yeah.
We went Pink Snacks. Now, yes, you Pink Snacks.
Now
you
all of a sudden their myself. Feelings are hurt.
Yes, now their feelings are hurt. I'm like, how? So I can't talk about your poverty, but we can talk about my wealth and how it's making me fat. No, my friend. Yeah. So and those people, my worst is TV. My worst. Woo to me. You know you're so big on TV, but I see you look nice live.
And
that's how, gaga on TV.
And they somehow think that it's some kind of compliment.
Like, woo to me. Ha, TV. TV just ruins you. Yes. TV ruins you. Can't you are this nice?
And the frustrating thing about that is a lot of the time the person saying this to you clearly doesn't have a mirror of their own in their house.
Thank you.
Because they think that you know, they're about the size of a bus and a half, but they have the audacity to try and tell you about how you're looking a certain way.
Yeah, forget size. They look like it was Guy Fawkes, and they forgot to take off the mask after Guy Fawkes. You're like, but Choma, look at yourself. Look at me. Look at the queue of men right now who just want, who are salivating, looking at me. Wena, with your bone, you want to come and tell me things. People can just be silly. I haven't experienced it. I must say, I've experienced it a lot with people of color. Do you think it's a black thing? Because I've never had anyone else who's not black say that to me.
Neither have I. I mean, a lot of the time it's been my grandmother, your aunt at home. You know, when you see them once a year over Christmas and they're like, you're fat again.
You're fat again.
Yeah, for me, it's also mostly been people of color and usually my family members. I don't know if they think that they are allowed to cross that boundary just because we're all related.
But we must investigate. Let's do a survey.
And I did get put in my place at one time that this was still in high school because I went to boarding school. And I remember telling one of my friends, because she was very, very skinny. Ne? And so the one Sunday she walked into the room and she was wearing a short skirt. But it was like, you know, she looked painfully thin. And I was like, yo, but you are so skinny, you know. And she turned around to me and she said, yeah, well, Maba Lakiri, you are fat. And you know what? I was a proper chubster in high school. Like, I was proper heavy girl. And seemingly the reverse is also true. Like, you can't go around telling people that, you know, you look too skinny.
You're too skinny. Yeah, yeah.
Should we all then just refrain from commenting about how we all look? And everybody must just mind their own business.
Hey, I don't know, kid. In a perfect world, yes. But then if we do that, then therapists won't have work because then people won't have complexes and then there'll be no need for therapy.
So. And now this thing of your, let's say you have a boyfriend or a husband, this thing of them deciding that the answer is always going to be, no, baby, you look great. You look fine.
Ah, not my husband.
That's also a lie.
My husband My husband has found a way to deal with me when I'm doing that weight stuff. Because, you know, when I started on this whole weight loss journey, by the way, I've put on 3 kilograms since, buddy. This is horrible. Anyway, it's amazing what alcohol and too much eating and doing nothing can do to you. Anyway, every time I have an issue about how I look, he goes, so what are you going to do about it? He doesn't go, yes, I agree. No, I don't. He'll go, yes, you know you've put on weight.
Yeah.
I still think you look fantastic because you dress well. Or he'll say, I still think you look fantastic because, you know, I just love you. I think you're sexy. That body gave birth to my children. I love it. Right.
Aww.
But when I'm like that, he goes, how do you feel about it? Are you comfortable? Because if you're comfortable, what's your problem? So I think that's what has to happen with everyone. You must just, in your mirror, look at yourself. Because you know what I've realized? Women have complexes, guy. I have friends. You know, I have a friend who literally went out to go and get a bum. I thought she had the sexiest body on earth. And she, I kid you not, worked so hard to gain weight on her ass. And I was like, why? Why, Choma? Hey, my friend. In fact, it's not even women only. There's a friend of ours, Tammy. Don't kill me, Tammy, but this kills me. Tammy, when I met him, was a skinny dude.
Mm.
Then he decided he wants to buff up. He got fat instead of buffing.
No shame.
Then so he had to lose weight.
Yeah, yeah.
To then be buff. He's buff. He looks great.
He just went about it the wrong way.
Yes, because he went from skinny to overweight. But the kind of, oh, wait, are you going about this guy is not comfortable to, you know what I mean? Like, leave your body alone. Hey.
Mark on WeChat says, the worst people are the ones who touch your belly and say, oh, working class people. Mark, I hope that this doesn't actually.
Corporate muscle.
Draw.
He's talking about corporate muscle.
Oh, no. That's just wrong. That's just all kinds of wrong.
Yeah, I love it. I remember when I was pregnant with my third child and people, you could tell, you know when someone goes, I can see you're pregnant, but you're overweight, so I'm scared I might be wrong.
I don't know what to say.
And you're watching them with that inner look of botsing where they're going, should I say something? Should I not? I remember one guy being so relieved because I said something like, yo, this child is giving me cravings. And he went, oh my God, thank God, Tims, because I wanted to ask you, but I was so scared of offending you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I laughed because I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. But my thing is just leave it alone. So what if I'm pregnant or not? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you're a man with a boob, I respect you for that boob, Baba. That is your wealth. You've worked that thing. You are like the guy. You know that guy with the six pack who spent all those hours of gym?
Mm.
The guy with the boob? I respect you for all the quality meat, the freaking expensive cognac,
the crates of beer.
Those, you know, that you must show people you're enjoying your freedom. Hi, man. You know, don't be embarrassed about yourself. Like now, when I gain weight and people are going to go, oh, but you were losing weight so nicely. What happened? I'm going to say, joke, auntie, I have so much money. I can afford to go to places where I just sit around, eat and drink, Baba. But I will be back because I also can afford someone who can help me lose it all. Like sometimes own it as well. Just because someone says something negative about your body doesn't mean now, man, you must go and cry yourself in shame.
Own. And especially if you're not doing anything about it.
Yes.
I mean, if you feel that bad about it, then go home and fix it.
If somebody says, "Who, Om Gaka, why are you so big?" Hey, watch how big I can get. This is nothing. You know? Or go, hey, but look at how small I am. Ha, you should have seen me when I was a size 48.
Let's go back to these complexes that you say we have as women.
Yes.
So what? Are we bringing these things on ourselves?
Sometimes we do. Like, honestly, sometimes I actually want to ask my hubby, baby, how did I feel? Like, am I still toit? I'm still toit? Or do I need to do kegels? You know, like, I feel like sometimes as women, we look for problems. You saw him looking like he's being exercised. You know he had a good time. He's like, ah. You know, the rice milk is there as evidence, but you still want to know if he finds you sexy. Like, he's poking you with a broomstick every 5 minutes, but you're going, I feel so ugly.
His leg was twitching like when you rub a puppy's belly.
You know, when you walk in the room, he looks dumb. He looks stupefied. And you still feel ugly.
Oh my gosh. I remember seeing a tweet the other day, and I actually don't know if I understand that, like, how it works or if it makes sense to me. But this guy said, your stroke game is not strong if you're not accidentally dribbling on your woman's forehead. That is okay. Yo. Actually, I don't know.
Yo. But it's true. It's amazing. Like, you know, when you turn heads, when you have other women even going out and buying, you know, when some woman or an acquaintance has seen you in something, then they go out and they buy themselves the same thing.
Because it looked so good on you.
Yes, on you. Mm. And when you're busy being offended, instead of going, ha, I made this thing look so good. Bish went out and bought it. She don't even look as good as I do.
And now I'm going to make the next thing look good.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or when a man tells you how much he loves you and he, you know, he just can't help himself. He's always sending you the dumbest little sweet messages. And then you're busy feeling insecure and holding on tight to him like, and I'm thinking, but Choma, do you not see how...
But not everybody comes with this confidence that you have.
You think I was born with it? You don't think I had to tell myself? You know, people think this thing is cheesy, but the affirmations are everything, my bad. Affirmations. To this day, when I'm feeling insecure about anything, me and the mirror, I look myself in the eye. There was a time I literally, and I mean, I haven't done it lately, and I actually should do it again, where I used to go in front of the mirror and go, I'm Tumi Morake, bitch. I'm Tumi Morake. You can't touch this. I am the Tumi Morake. You need to give yourself that thing, man.
I was having this conversation with our own Siya Sangweni friend not too long ago. And I actually said to him, I don't know if these affirmation things work. Like, to me, they all sound a bit like airy fairy.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'm a cynic at heart.
No, if you hear something long enough, you start to believe it. So imagine if it's coming from you, how powerful that is. How powerful it is to hear something that's coming from your heart and from your mind. And because even guys have complexes. The only difference between men and women is that we laugh to a bitch and moan.
Well,
we don't hide our complexes. We like proper.
We dwell on
them. We tell the world, we're like, I feel like an ugly. Men then carry it in different ways. Like those guys with the super unnecessarily expensive tiny cars. And you're like, well, I see how you feel. You know? Are those guys who change girls every 5 seconds?
Yeah, there's a complex going on there.
There's a complex going on there. And what kills me is the ones who will then tell you their one story about that one chick who did something to them, you know? Or the ones who will tell you how in high school they were so awkwardly shaped. And because, you know, in high school, your body still needs to find its center.
Mm.
And then they had such a complex that now they're the hot guy, but they must bang everything with a pulse.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? Why? Because you're still trying to comfort that guy in high school. Come on now. Next thing you'll be dying off the AIDS looking exactly like that guy again.
Because they say it's fun banging every other girl every other day.
No,
of the
man.
Week.
It's no, fun. It's... No, own your own. Own your own, man.
Okay. We're almost out of time. So can we do hug a man?
Yes.
Okay. So today's hug goes out to men in general. Because in this game of hunter versus prey, where a lot of the time a man approaches you and is like, hey, looking good. Can I get your number? And you're like, please leave.
Mm.
For all the times that men get rejected.
Yes.
And still keep trying and coming back and not letting it weigh on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, not letting it send them home, back home, and cry in a corner every night. And then the next morning, they have to look at themselves in the mirror and lift themselves up again. These people just brush this thing off and they're like,
those little engines that could, when the guy's a 2, you're a clear 10.5. But he goes, I'm going to go jump. Yeah. I'm going to leap. Take a leap of faith.
And listen, rejection sucks for everyone.
It sucks.
For every one of us, it sucks.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced a moment where you approached a guy and he rejected you. For me, there was just that one guy in primary school who chose my best friend instead of me. But I'm over that.
You know, it's the second time you bring up this guy. I'm going to find this guy, that whoever was, you are. I am going to find him.
That was the one and only time that I was rejected by a guy. But can you imagine what it must be like for these guys? Every day they're going in there, they're trying their best, and then they just keep hearing no, left, right, and center.
And they must remember now it's a leap year, so they must also wait to be caught, Baba. I would also like to send this hugger man out to that young man who was hitting on me at the petrol station.
Ow!
You are either stupid or very brave, but bless you. This boy hits on me. I show him my wedding bands, Baba. He goes, oh, that's nice. So what do you say? I'm like, okay.
No.
All right.
Awesome. I don't know what you're trying to tell me, but you still haven't answered my question.
Dude.
Are we good to go?
Dude. Hi. This has been a tense situation. All I want to say to the young men out there, I'm going to say it for the last time because it's happened again where someone has offered to be my Ben 10 is that I don't have time.
Mm.
I would really love to.
Can't you make time?
You guys, no, honey. You know why I can't make time? I don't want a Ben 10, baby. I want a Bentley.
Oh.
All that time we'll be playing is time I could be making money and getting paid. So, sorry, Ben 10.
Entirely different league
I'm
altogether.
I'm about the other kind of Ben.
I actually got a message from a guy that we grew up in the same hood, but he is younger than me.
Mm.
And he tweeted me the other day, or he DM'd me, and I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, I'm in Joburg now, da-da-da-da. I'm this attorney. I'm like, oh, nice for you. That's great. You know, our families are friends. And then after we exchange numbers, I go onto his WhatsApp and I take a look at this boy and I'm like, yo.
Eh.
But when these people grow up.
Did blood move?
And they become men.
Yes. once the what needs to drop drops, once Adam's apple has fully developed.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Take him out for drinks, baby.
Oh, shame. I can't do that. I'd feel like
How much younger than you is he?
A few years.
Specify. Five, six, more, ten.
No, not.
He can't be 10 years younger than an attorney.
No, he's not 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Maybe like 4 or 5.
That's what you did there, girl. That's what you did there, 4 or 5.
But I
would get in there.
I've always said that I can't, well, I don't want to do Ben 10s until I'm in my 40s, if I am still.
Then you'll be a cougar and it's embarrassing.
I don't want to do Ben 10s.
Let me live vicariously through you. I can't be a married woman living a very straightforward life, although I'm trying to convince my men that we must get a third person to come and play with
us. Oh, okay.
But, point is, let me live vicariously through you. Please, I'm begging you. Just see if he's feeling you like you're feeling him.
So
look 16, Mabale, man. Stop acting like people will be looking at you like you're a cradle snatcher.
No, but that's not the point. I just right now I feel like I need to have somebody who's, you know.
Does he have an ID book? Yeah, then it's fine.
I can't do Ben 10 right
I didn't
now.
Say marry him.
No.
Aye, man, Baba, let's go have fun. Let's take this thing off air. I don't want these people to judge me for all the kind of evil I'm going to make you get up to.
Thank you for joining us. And we'll be back with you again next week.
Yes, I'll be better prepared. My brain will be here. But OMG, thanks for listening.
This is CliffCentral.com.